Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. With me tonight is Frank Briscoe, who's filling in for David, who has gone through a bone marrow transplant. David is doing pretty well, a lot better than the doctors had anticipated, and so we're thankful that things are going his way, and won't be too much longer than I'll be going up to Dallas, and we're going to do some programs with David up in the Dallas area. But Frank Briscoe, who preaches for the Santo Church of Christ, is filling in with us tonight. Frank has been preaching the gospel for 56 years. I'm 55 years old. He's been preaching for 1 year longer than I've been alive. But we're thankful that you're in our audience tonight. We're broadcasting from the HPR network, KATX 97.7 FM out of Eastland, and also on KNNK 100.5 out of Hereford. We're also broadcasting on KQMK 1680 AM out of Oklahoma, and also we're discussing, broadcasting on KnowTheTruthRadio.org. We're thankful that you're in our audience tonight, and we want to remind you that this is a live call-in talk show. And if you have any questions or comments about our radio program tonight, we encourage you to call us. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We also want to mention our sponsors. Of course, the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton is one of the sponsors of this program, as well as the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville. We also have additional sponsors, the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, and also the Fourth and Stewart Church of Christ in Brownwood, Texas. Our motto is, and will always be, you have heard what men have said. Now, let's hear what the Bible has to say. We're living, Frank, in a very sad day, a day when it seems the whole world lieth in wickedness, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19. The New King James says, lies under the sway of the wicked one. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13, we're told how that evil men and imposters grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Genesis 6 and verse 5 talks about how the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually. And sadly, we're living in a day just like that. This describes our day. As a case in point, just recently the Boy Scouts celebrated their 100th year of existence. Presently, the Boy Scouts are being bullied by homosexual activists to accept and to include homosexuals as scouts and scoutmasters. Well, Frank, even President Obama stated that it is the right thing to support gay marriages and allow gays in the Boy Scouts. I find it interesting that President Obama would say things like this to support gay marriages, but he didn't call out Tim Tebow when he announced he was a Christian, did he?
Not only that, but we're beginning to see things of this nature where certain sins, certain things that are known as an abomination to God are being called acceptable, and there are those in positions of leadership that are having sway over the thoughts of so many of our people by promoting and pushing these things as if it was something that came from God. We're much like those that were described in the writings of the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 5. We were discussing it a little bit earlier, where Isaiah speaks of those who call good evil and evil good, and then he described it as those that call bitter sweet and sweet bitter. That in our day, we are seeing those things that God calls an abomination, called a right choice and the thing to do, by our society.
You know, you're exactly right. And when we think about men like President Obama, who thinks it's the right thing to support gay marriage and allow gays in Boy Scouts, it's appalling to me that when the basketball player recently came out of the closet and announced that he was a homosexual, President Obama called him and said, "What great courage you had coming out of the closet claiming to be a homosexual." And yet, when men like Tim Tebow pronounce their faith in God, they're only made fun of. You kind of wonder, Frank, what's going to happen next? Are people going to start calling up an adulterer who says, "I'm coming out of the closet," and people calling up for saying, "Hey, you got great courage coming out of the closet being an adulterer"? Well, you know, homosexuality and adultery are all the sin of fornication. And we live in a society where it's being set forth as some great thing, and people have no problem with it. We are indeed living in a time when many are calling that which is evil good and good evil.
You know, even here in our own area, in our own state, just in the last week or two, a young man won a track meet.
Mm-hmm.
And as he crossed the finish line, he pointed upward, giving credit to God, and they disqualified him.
It's a sad day, isn't it? Well, the Boy Scouts, they're under pressure right now. Financial support is being withdrawn from them for their refusal to admit gays as scouts or as scout leaders. And so they're losing funding. And the questions I have are, will the Boy Scouts of America sell out? Are they going to be willing, are they going to give in to the pressure? You know, I'm reminded of what's said in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. Beginning in verse 6, it says, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." You see, we've got to realize, Frank, that when we give in to immorality because of money, we indeed are piercing ourselves through with many sorrows. And I hope with all my heart that the Boy Scouts do not give in. That did not give in because of money. How much has money influenced our society for evil?
You know, a tremendous thing and a tremendous thought that you're mentioning there is the influence of evil and the influence of pressure and power and money. It would be hard to measure the influence that took place when an individual comes out and says, "I'm doing something that God has said is an abomination." And at least two of our presidents congratulate him.
Mm-hmm.
And others have gotten on to that. And what this is doing, it is giving a message to the rest of people that if these individuals in the position that they're in not only condone but approve this, then it should be all right.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe God doesn't say anything about it.
Exactly. You know, when we think about the Boy Scouts, the question that we have, will the Boy Scouts forsake their 100-year-old oath? The Boy Scouts of America, then the Boy Scout oath, it says this: "On my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and to my country and to obey the Scout law, to help other people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight." I was in the Boy Scouts. I remember that oath. But the Boy Scouts, in their tendency, are the chance that they are going to allow homosexual scoutmasters and homosexuals in the Boy Scouts. Well, what they're doing is violating the very Boy Scout oath that they claim to uphold. The Boy Scout oath forbids allowing homosexuals among the number, as is seen in the following phrases. He says, to do my duty to God. We have that duty, don't we, Frank?
Absolutely. Not only are they doing this, but the movement to bring in homosexual leaders and to encourage homosexual Boy Scouts. I have a great difficulty, Tom, of thinking of a 9-year-old boy being homosexual.
Mm-hmm.
Here's someone that's 8, 9, 10 years old, and they have no sexual orientation. But they're already beginning to be told that here's an alternate lifestyle. You can choose it if you want to. They're even being encouraged. President approves of it.
Mm-hmm.
That here is Satan laying out before us that which is sin and that which takes one away from God, and others are promoting it, pushing it, and we're indoctrinating these young people to, hey, let me look at this. Maybe that's the way I ought to live. It's not something they were born with or that they had. It's a choice that they're beginning to make, and they're encouraged to make.
Exactly. Now, the number to call tonight, if you'd like to get in the conversation with a question or comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Tonight we're talking about, will the Boy Scouts forsake their 100-year-old oath? We're talking about the Boy Scout oath, the Boy Scout promise, where they promise to do their duty to God. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, it says, let us, and I'm reading from the New King James tonight, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. To do our duty to God. My friends, that is in the Boy Scout oath. And that's the requirement, not just of Boy Scouts, but it is a requirement of every single human being in our world today to be one who is going to do their duty to God. You might also notice in your Bibles in Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 through 29, it says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may, now notice, serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. To do our duty to God. You know, he tells us there also in that Boy Scout oath, Frank, that we are to keep ourselves morally straight. You know, we talk about today. I'm sure they didn't have this in mind when the first Boy Scout oath came out, but being straight or not straight. Well, he's talking about being morally pure. That is what was required of a Boy Scout, to be morally pure, but that does not describe homosexuality, does it, Frank?
Absolutely. And that's just another indication. You know, here's a word that has developed a meaning of its own. A few years ago, the word straight would not have been used in the context
mm-hmm.
it's used now,
yeah.
meaning a manner of life or a lifestyle.
So to keep ourselves morally straight, this is a Boy Scout's duty to God, to live moral lives, to live by biblical moral values. Now, Frank, tonight we're going to be talking about what the Bible has to say about homosexuality. And we're talking about this because, well, we're not bashing anybody, are we, Frank? We're not here for the purpose of putting people down, but we have a higher goal in mind, don't we?
Yes, I neither fear nor hate the homosexual. You know, the responsibility that we have is the responsibility to show what God's Word says.
Mm-hmm.
I might point out here, Tom, before we get into some of the verses that we're going to be looking at, it's not unusual. I've had them come to me, you probably had them come to you and say, you know, the Bible doesn't condemn homosexuality, or that the Bible doesn't say anything about it. when the truth of the matter is, and we'll be looking at this through the remainder of the program, of a number of verses, and we'd like to encourage those of you out there in the audience to take your Bible and look at these. It's not a question of does the Bible mention it, or does the Bible say it, or does the Bible condemn it. We have a choice. You know, here's what the Bible says. We can either believe it or not believe it, but it's folly to say it's not there.
Exactly.
Because we can turn to it and read it, and we will be reading these as we go through the program. Here's what God says.
Now, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. You can also chime in at the chat box where there's chatting going on at this very moment. Remember, you are we're airing on knowthetruthradio.org, and we're also airing on KATX 97.7 FM, as well as KNNK 100.5 FM, and also KQMK 1600 AM out of Oklahoma. Tonight we're talking about the Boy Scouts of America and how they have recently celebrated their 100th year of existence, and how that presently the Boy Scouts of America are being bullied by gay activists to accept and to include homosexuality as scouts, or homosexuals as scouts, and also as scout leaders. And we've noticed that this is clearly against the Boy Scout oath, which says, on my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and to my country and obey the scout law, to help other people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. In other words, morally pure, morally right. And he said, and the Boy Scout said, that is my duty to God, to keep myself morally pure. Well, what does the Bible say? We know that that homosexuals coming into the Boy Scouts is against the Boy Scout oath. But more importantly, it's also against the very Word of God. And you know, Frank, we're told this in the very beginning of the Bible about how that homosexuals is not in God's plan. As a matter of fact, in the very beginning of creation, what did he do, Frank?
God created man, created a helpmeet for him, and then, as Jesus would bring out later, and this was God's plan from the beginning, mm-hmm. Man and a woman.
God made man and female, husband and wife.
Male and female made he them.
Exactly. It's interesting that God made Adam and Eve. He did not make Adam and Steve. So from the very beginning of time, God said this is the right way. This is how a sexual relation is to be done between a man and a woman. This is how marriage is to be between a man and a woman. And who does the world think they are to start changing things that God says ought to be? You know, we have a very interesting situation in Genesis chapter 19. The situation in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, Adam and Zeboam was of such depraved wickedness that God determined to destroy them. One city, Sodom, is mentioned specifically, probably because it was a town of residence for Abraham's nephew Lot and his family. Well, there in Matthew chapter 19, after the angels arrived, Lot urged them to lodge in his home rather than out in the town square. Before bedtime, all the men of Sodom come to Lot's door in pursuit of those two men, and they said, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally." Genesis chapter 19 and verse 5. You know, we realize here that these men wanted to know them carnally. But what was it that Job or Lot offered these men, Frank?
He made an offer of substitute of a woman,
uh-huh.
And they were not interested. This was not what they wanted. You know, we might point out one other thing here in answer to a question that might come. I realize, as do you, that there are those that are going to say, well, you're talking about Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah was just a myth. It probably didn't happen. And what we need to remember is if we take a position like that, the kind of domino effect, how many other places mention it? And if you eliminate it here, then you're going to have to eliminate the book of Hosea, because Isaiah describes the children of Israel as being like two of these cities. You're going to have to eliminate the teaching of Jesus, because he talks about that these were there, and this was their sin. And as I said a moment ago, this is what the Bible says. We have a choice.
Exactly. And, you know, it gets back to what you said a while ago. People sometimes simply do not want to believe what the Scriptures say, and so the best thing is, well, that was just a myth. There was never such a thing as Sodom and Gomorrah. That might be one argument. Some have argued that the wickedness of these men had to do with their inhospitality. They weren't very hospitable. They weren't good people to have over to your house. I couldn't get that word out. Or they were even attempting rape. But the text plainly proves both arguments false. Though most versions put no or have relations, it's interesting that New American Standard has the footnote of have intercourse. The context in Genesis chapter 19 plainly reveals that they sought carnal knowledge with these angels. Their sexual urges with these men are what constitute the wickedness. And since Lot offers his daughters as a substitute for their desire, we know that this was a sexual situation taking place here. These men wanted to know these other men in a homosexual way. They wanted to have sex with them. And that's why Lot offered his daughters in a substitute. Keep in mind that God's response to this wickedness was to punish the inhabitants of these places. Genesis 19 makes plain that homosexuality was what brought God's judgment upon them.
You know, it's amazing how far people will go to attempt to justify a position or a thought or a doctrine that they have. As you said here in the case of Lot and his daughter, they want to eliminate the idea that this was for sex, and yet all of the passage tells us that. Mm-hmm. Same thing happens over in Romans chapter 1, where Paul writes about this particular sin as being an abomination, and they will argue that it was not what they did that was wrong, it was the way they did.
Exactly.
That they had lust. If they didn't have lust and have had lust. In other words, it is amazing what people will try to do, as Peter tells us, that they twist the Scripture.
Mm-hmm. You know, Paula makes a good comment here on the chat box. He says, we have discussed homosexuality and what the Bible teaches before, but we need to exercise our responsibility to speak out. What does the Bible say about our obligation to speak what is right? You know, when we're talking about homosexuality, you know, again, as we mentioned earlier, we're not trying to bash the homosexuals, but we care about the souls of men. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave his Son's life for all mankind. Galatians 4, verse 16, it says, am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? We have an obligation to speak the truth to people.
You know, as we were talking earlier, the passage in the book of Obadiah, a little short book in the Old Testament, one chapter, but in the 11th verse, where God is speaking concerning the sin of Edom, the whole message of Obadiah is to come and pronounce the judgment of God upon the nation of Edom. And he said the reason was they stood on the side. Mm-hmm. They saw the evil, they knew what was being done was wicked, and they didn't do anything or didn't say anything. And God says that if you are aware of it, see it, even though you do not participate in it, you're guilty for condoning it.
Exactly. I think that might be George W. Bush, I'm not sure, but W on the chat box says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13, an interesting passage, to mention, it says, Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, and since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believe, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore speak. You know, we have an obligation, don't we, Frank, to speak out and to be heard. We can't just sit back and allow immorality to take over our world.
In the same book, Paul writing to the church at Corinth, and I don't think there's probably a city talked about in the New Testament that had more problems with immorality than did the city of Corinth. But Paul talked about the fact that God had made him a steward
mm-hmm.
of the word.
Mm-hmm.
And as a steward, he was going to be held accountable for expressing and teaching that word. We have the same responsibility.
Exactly.
God has made us stewards of his word, and we're going to be held accountable. And if we do not say both the positive and the negative,
mm-hmm.
what God approves of, what God disapproves of, we're going to have to give an account for why we didn't do it.
That's right. You know, and Steve Weeks mentions on the chat box, he says, I think we're speaking out and we need to continue to remind each other of the biblical basis for our speech. You know, you look at all of the, it seems like every day we're inundated with the homosexual agenda. I mean, they're pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. Well, we need to push back. And we are saying things, and we need to keep at it. Sometimes people say, well, we get tired of this. Well, they keep pushing it. Are we just going to let it slide? Are we going to let not say anything about it? No, we're going to have to say things about it. We're going to have to speak what the Bible speaks, and we're going to have to tell people that this is wrong. The Bible tells us clearly that homosexuality is wrong, and we need to remind people what the Bible has to say about that. Now, remember, this is a live call-in talk show. If you'd like to call in with a question or comment, the number to do so is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We're talking about how the homosexual activists, the gay activists, are trying to bully the Boy Scouts into accepting homosexuals as scouts and also scout masters. We've talked about how the Boy Scout promise tells us that we are to do our duty to God and that we are to keep ourselves morally straight. And if the Boy Scouts allow homosexual scout masters into their group, then they are violating the very Boy Scout oath that they are claiming to hold forth. Now, we've talked about what the Bible has to say, and that's really, Frank, what's most important, what the Bible has to say. Genesis chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 19 talks about how that God in the very beginning made man and female, not man and man or woman and woman, but man and female. Genesis chapter 19 talks about Sodom and Gomorrah and the great wickedness that was there. But you know also, Frank, in the book of Leviticus, God speaks very strongly against homosexuality, doesn't he?
Absolutely. Under the Old Testament law, the sin of homosexuality was punishable by death.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we might think of it in terms of, you know, physical death and how terrible it would be, but that's just a shadow of what is yet to come.
Exactly.
It was physical death, immediate punishment for homosexuality under the old law.
And does that not show God's attitude toward homosexuality? Do you think his attitude's changed?
I don't think God's changed at all. In fact, I think that what we see insofar as the New Testament is concerned, we're looking at death now, but we're not looking at just physical death. We're looking at eternal separation from God.
Okay.
Those who practice sin are going to be cast out of the presence of God forever.
Exactly. Well, we're up against a break. We're going to take a radio break. We'll still be on the internet. You are listening to the HPR Network.
They thought the Titanic was unsinkable. They thought the double-bottom 16 watertight compartments could withstand anything. They thought the ship could float with some water in its bulkhead. They thought that 3 million rivets holding the steel plates together was indestructible. They thought that even after the ship struck an iceberg, there was no cause for alarm. They thought all was fine, and some continued dancing, enjoying the music, and partying. They thought, but they were wrong. We must make our eternal destiny sure. Surely we should not accept the advice or counsel of a man, but rather only heed the word of God. Jesus stated, those who do the will of the Father shall inherit the kingdom of God, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 p.m. for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions and comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Parkheads Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, the DeLeon Church of Christ in DeLeon, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs.
We spend more to have less. We buy more but enjoy it less. We have bigger houses and smaller families, more conveniences but less time, more medicine but less wellness. We read too little and watch TV too much and pray too seldom. We have multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. These are the times of torment, short character, steep profiles, and shallow relationships. We have learned to make a living but not a life. We have added years to life but not life to years. Perhaps the world needs to heed the words of our Lord, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions or comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, and the DeLeon Church of Christ in DeLeon.
You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents expressed on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible and its agents. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents heard on this show may not be the same as those of the radio station or the HBR network or any of its agents.
You'd like to chime in? Please do so by going to knowthetruthradio.org. We need to remember that our motto is and will always be, you have heard what men have said, now listen to what the Bible says. Has to say. We back on the radio?
Yes, sir.
All righty. Welcome back, all of our radio audience. KTX 97.7 FM out of Eastland and KNNK 100.5 out of Hereford. We also have listeners on the KQMK 1680 AM out of Oklahoma, Texas, and we're delighted that you are in our audience tonight. We're talking tonight about the Boy Scouts of America and how that the Boy Scouts were asking, are they going to forsake their 100-year-old oath? The Boy Scouts of America says, on my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and to my country and to obey the Scout law, to help other people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight.
You know, Tom, along that line, to again to look at our society, not a week or two ago, there was a cartoon editorial on the editorial page, I believe it's Fort Worth Star-Telegram, showing a Boy Scout leading a little old lady across the street. You've seen the picture. And it said our new motto is, don't ask, don't tell. And that was supposed to be funny. But it tells us a whole lot of how far we've gone.
Exactly. You know, the gay activists are trying to get the the Boy Scouts to accept homosexuals as scouts and scoutmasters. And the Boy Scouts are under great pressure right now because much of their financial support is being withdrawn from them for their refusal to admit gays. And the question we have tonight, will the Boy Scouts of America sell out? Will they give in to the pressure? My hope, Frank, is that they'll stand firm, that they will stand true to the Boy Scout oath, to honor their duty to God, to keep themselves morally straight. But you know, what's really important in all this is what the Bible has to say about homosexuality. We need to realize that. We want the people to realize we're not trying to bash homosexuals, and And we don't hate them. What we want is for them to come to the truth. We want them to stop their ungodly lifestyles, because God cares for the souls of men. God sent His Son to die for mankind. And so we're hoping that as people listen to what we have to say and listen to what God's Word has to say, that they will turn back to God and away from their ungodly lifestyles.
Yeah, this is being promoted to us and for the world. In such a way, we know that one of the major department stores of our country uses as their chief spokesman an individual who is homosexual, who claims to be homosexual. Everybody knows that this is the lifestyle that they've chosen, and yet they choose them as their number one spokesman. And the other thing that we might just kind of watch for, I don't know that this will happen, but I wouldn't be at all surprised. The individual, great basketball player, made the announcement that he's coming out of the closet, that he is homosexual. Will some sports company pick him up to endorse mm-hmm. their product? Look at the attention they get.
Exactly.
We need to note if such a company does. I know of one that has been considered, and it's possible it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. You know, we think about what the Bible has to say about homosexuality. In the very beginning, God created man and woman, not man and man or woman and woman. In Genesis chapter 19, we noted that Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed because of their sinful homosexuality. We talked about in our last portion of the hour in Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22, and also Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 13, that under the Old Testament, the death penalty was the punishment for homosexuality. And that really shows us the attitude that God has toward homosexuality. And God's attitude does not change. Maybe the punishment has changed in a physical way, but God still holds the same attitude toward homosexuality, because there are spiritual consequences, aren't there, Frank?
Absolutely. And not only does God hold the same attitude about homosexuality, He holds it in this generation from last generation. Mm-hmm. We talked a few moments ago about, I picked up a couple of books that was question and answers about Bible subjects that are a few years old, 20, 30 years old. There's not a question in two books about homosexuality. Mm-hmm. Just no longer ago than that. It wasn't a problem. Christians knew. Mm-hmm. And now, evidently, Christians are beginning to, or those that claim at least to be Christian, are beginning to question whether or not God still means what He says.
You know, in the book of Romans, chapter 1, beginning in verse 26, it says, "For this reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one for another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due." And then down in verse 32 of that chapter it says, "Who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them." He's telling us here in this context several things about homosexuality, isn't he, Frank?
You know, if you just listen to them, he said to dishonor their body.
Mm-hmm.
It's against nature. It's leaving the natural use of man and woman, committing that which is shameful, and it's going to bring about the judgment of God.
You know, one thing that's very interesting to me there in that passage in the last part of verse 32, not only those who practice such things, but those who approve of those things. You know, it's not, you know, well, I'm not a homosexual, somebody might say, but I don't have any problem with it. Well, God's putting you in the same boat as they are, because That is just as wrong. If you condone something or you approve of something that is wrong, you are just as guilty as they is. And that's why this is something very critical for us to stand opposed to.
And the next passage that we would look at there, those that do this shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Exactly. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the very passage that you're mentioning there, beginning in verse 9, it says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." He's telling them, you know, if you are practicing homosexuality, you're not going to go to heaven. That's serious, isn't it, Frank?
It can't be any more serious. And we mentioned in the beginning, there are those, unfortunately, that says the Bible doesn't mention homosexuality. Look at these verses. You know, it's not a question of does the Bible say it. It is a question of whether or not we believe it.
Mm-hmm.
This is what God has said concerning the sin of homosexuality.
But you know, there's good news, though, Frank. It says there in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 11, "And such were some of you." Now, there were some there who were practicing homosexuality. They stopped it. He says that you were washed, that you were sanctified, that you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. There's good news for the homosexual. You don't have to go to hell. You can stop your evil ways. You can go back to God, repent of your sins, and no longer be involved in homosexual fornication. And that's exactly what it is. It's fornication, and it's that which is evil. It's that which is wrong in the sight of God. And if you're involved in practicing such things, you're not going to go to heaven. Now, we're talking about this, Frank, because we want people to go to heaven, don't we?
But the wonderful thing about what you just mentioned is, "And such were some of you," which means that they've changed.
Mm-hmm.
Book of Hosea lists probably in more graphic detail than any other section that you can find of the sin of people that have gone away from God. And he lists all of the things that they've done. And as you look at it, you would think, well, why did God just destroy them? In chapter 11, where he talks about the love that he had for them, he said, "I'll not come to them in my wrath because I am God and not man."
Mm-hmm.
God gave them the opportunity to change their life. Like Ezekiel told the children of Israel in Ezekiel chapter 18, "Why will you die, O Israel?"
Mm-hmm.
"Turn and live."
You know, Denny Wilson was searching Logos, a software on the computer, about the words that use in New King James, including homosexual and sodomite. And the word homosexual is referred to as a catamite. A catamite is a boy who is being used for sex by a man. And he says, isn't that what the danger is of having a scout leader who is a homosexual over young boys? You know, it wasn't too long ago when they had that coach from Penn State that was involved in this very type of thing. And there's part of the danger of having homosexual. You know, all the research that I've done in the past, pedophile, there is a high degree of pedophiles among homosexual men. And you're going to allow your young boy to be around a man who is a homosexual when there is that high degree of probability that he's also would be involved in molesting young boys. Now, they might go all up in arms about this, the homosexual community. You can go all up in arms you want to, but the fact still remains true that there is that problem among them. And I don't know about you, I wouldn't want my son in a scout troop with a homosexual leader.
They can claim, or they can say, well, not all homosexuals are pedophiles, and that's true. The point that you're making is the high probability that's there. because of the very nature of the situation.
Exactly. Now, remember, the number to call if you'd like to get on the discussion tonight is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. You can also be involved in the chat box. The chat box is burning red fire right now with a lot of people chiming in, and we're thankful that you're looking in on that. We're talking tonight about will the Boy Scouts forsake their 100-year-old oath? The Boy Scout oath says, to mention a couple of phrases there, that on their honor they will do their duty to God, and they will keep themselves morally straight. And yet this is the very thing they are not going to do if they allow homosexuals in as scoutmasters or individuals as homosexuals, because they're not keeping themselves morally straight. They're not doing their duty to God, because God says very clearly in His Word that homosexuality is a sin, and those who practice such sins are not going to go to heaven.
You know, at about this point, someone always comes up with, well, the Bible is so hard to understand, and that the passages and the things that are written there, I just don't understand them. I'd like to read a passage from the book of Deuteronomy that speaks of the Word of God. He said, "For this commandment which I command you this day, it's not too hard for thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven to bring it unto us and make us to hear it, that we may do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us and make us to hear it, that we may do it. But the word is very near unto you, in thy mouth, in thy heart, that thou may do it."
Mm-hmm.
What Moses is telling the children of Israel, here is God's law written out for the very first time for them, and he's answering an objection that they might give. Well, how can we understand it? Well, it's not all that difficult. You read it, you can understand it. Paul tells us, study to show yourself approved unto God, handling the word aright.
It's not that it's too hard to understand. It's that people do not want to understand. You know, and people will do everything, it seems like, or anything, it seems like, Frank, to get around this idea that homosexuality is a sin. As a matter of fact, they have a new translation of the Bible that has just come out recently called the Queen James Bible. And the Queen James Bible is a Bible that has gone through its pages and has deleted and changed every verse in the Bible that talks about homosexuality in a negative way. All that is simply not wanting to abide by what the Bible has to say about the sin of homosexuality.
Had a king in the Old Testament, didn't like the things that Jeremiah wrote, took his pocket knife, cut the pages, pitched them in the fire, but he didn't change it.
Exactly. You know, and so you can do whatever you want to, but God's Word stands sure.
Twice the Bible tells us in the New Testament that the word of the Lord is going to abide forever, endure forever. It doesn't just mean we always have a copy of it. It means when God said it, it's not going to change.
Exactly. You know, we've got to realize the Bible's always going to be right. You'll notice a W on the chat box mentioned the 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. It says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." God's Word is clear. All we need to do is simply accept what God has to say about the sin of homosexuality. You know, the question, I mean, we're going to be running out of time soon, and I want to get to some other things here. Will the Boy Scouts of America, Frank, now give young men and Cub Scouts as young as 7 years old leaders whom God describes as effeminate or homosexuals or abusers of themselves with mankind, or sodomites, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. Are the Boy Scouts in America going to subject young boys to leaders who are sodomites? Are they going to subject young boys to leaders that the Bible describes as them as that defile themselves and dishonor their own bodies between themselves? Are the Boy Scouts of America going to violate their very oath by not doing their duty to God and by not keeping themselves pure? Romans chapter 1, verse 27 says that they are men that are working that which is indecent. Are the Boy Scouts of America, are they going to allow men to be leaders of the Scouts who are involved in indecency?
There's a choice that they're going to have to make, and that choice is going to come up in relatively few days. And when the bottom line of the choice that they make, are we going to do that which is pleasing unto God, honors the oath that the Boy Scouts take, or are we going to be pressured by a rather small percentage of people, a few that are in high places, to choose a life and a lifestyle that's contrary to God? It's a choice that they'll have to make, and I'm fearful of the choice that they're going to make.
You know, just as in ancient Sodom, homosexuals today are not content to practice their wickedness privately. Multitudes are joining hands with them to force the sin of Sodom on America. I'm reminded of a passage in the book of Lamentations, chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, "The punishment of the iniquity of the daughter of my people is greater than the punishment of the sin of Sodom, which was overthrown in a moment with no hand to help her." You know, we are in a very bad situation. You mentioned to me earlier about Lamentation, the beginning and the end. Tell me about that again.
The first book, first word, first verse of the book of Lamentation describes a beautiful city. And how does this city set desolate? Remember what Jerusalem looked like? Here was the great city, the temple of Solomon's temple, how glorious and beautiful it was. And Jeremiah's writing about this, and he said, now it's gone. Now then it's desolate. The very last verse of the same book said it is because of the wrath of God as a result of the sin of the people. And in the middle of the book, they're compared to Sodom.
You know, we think about America. Can't we not put America in that same situation? A great nation. Matter of fact, a one nation under God. Are we now down on the road to being a nation that's going to destroy itself from within because of our immoral standards? Can we not see that the same things that destroyed the nation of Israel are the same things that are going to take place today in America if we don't change the route that we're taking? You see, gay activists are attempting to break down the doors of marriage, and the Boy Scouts of America, just as did Lot's they did Lot's door in Sodom in Genesis chapter 19.
This is the very thing that helped lead to the fall of the Roman Empire. That we know from history that it was a sexual corrupt empire. For example, one of the Caesars, one of the leaders, he had countless small children, small boys brought to him, called them his minnows, used them, abused them, and then he always killed them so no one else could have them. But how many, what a terrible thing. We need to learn something from history.
Exactly. Now, we want to mention tonight that we are not homophobes. Homophobia is defined as irrational fear of homosexuality or homosexuals. It is an inflammatory term used in a derogatory way to discredit those who oppose homosexuality. Christians do not fear nor hate homosexuals. Matter of fact, we love their souls and desire their salvation from sins. Christians, well, they need to fear God. They respect His creation and fear the penalty for which He has pronounced upon those who would pervert the nature of His creation. And we ought not to make any apology for opposing homosexuality in every legitimate means, that is, those compatible with New Testament principles. But you know, Frank, if we don't speak out and we just let things slide and don't want to get involved, we've become like the Edomites, have we not?
We're guilty as those who practice such sins if we do not stand up against it.
Now, one of the reasons that the Edomites were condemned in Obadiah was for what reason?
They knew the wickedness that was happening, and they approved and applauded the actions of the nation of Assyria, the destruction of Judah. They knew the wickedness that was going on and condoned it and even applauded it.
Mm-hmm. You know, God warns that the national acceptance of sodomy was going to defile a nation, and cries greatly to Him for that nation's destruction. We see that in Leviticus chapter 18, verses 22 through 30, where God not only says that the one involved in homosexuality is to be punished by death, but also it's going to bring down the downfall of a nation. We've got to stand up. We've got to oppose that which is wrong. Frank, we only got about a minute and a half left. You got a final word you'd like to say?
This is an example of so many things that are happening in our nation, where things that are terrible and wrong are being glossed over and made to look acceptable. We've changed the terms. An alcoholic is a sick man. He's not a drunk. You know, somebody that commits adultery, that's just a different lifestyle. Then we move to the subject of our lessons this evening, homosexuality, that it's no longer the sin that God declared it to be. It's just a choice that people have, and we ought to be free to make that choice. And it is just another on the road of trying to eliminate sin from our conversation.
Well, as we conclude tonight, I'm hoping that the Boy Scouts of America will not forsake their 100-year-old oath. I'm hoping that they will honor God and to do His duty. They will keep themselves morally straight, and they will abide by the Bible. And we need to abide by God's principles in regard to condemning homosexuality. It's been great to have you in our audience tonight. Frank, it's been great to have you in here tonight.
Appreciate
it. It's always a delight to work with you. We want to remind you that you are listening to, or have been listening to, the HPR Network.